salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Today's my birthday, Coach.
It is today?
Yep.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
How old?
62.
Oh, puppy. We're up. Folks, we're up and running. I had a little bit of issue with my own hearing my headphones. Hope you didn't catch me telling a dirty joke or anything. Or didn't hear the intro to the program. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Man, I was, past weekend. Had a great show, I think. You know, as you're able to have your own opinions, we had a great show yesterday on Sunday. I'm really enjoying our Sunday show because we're doing a deep dive into some issues that I think are really, really, really important. And Michelle and I joined with a lot of others. Are everybody hearing me okay? Just somebody give me a thumbs up because I'm not getting anything in my ear here. Just want to make sure I'm not talking to myself. Okay, great. All right, cool. So, you know, Michelle and I went to, bear with me here, man. I want to try to lay something out here before us. And on Sunday's show, we talked about Romans 13 and government and Peter and those guys getting thrown in jail and getting let out of jail. And they go back and they stand back up on the street corner and they're starting preaching right again. And cops show back up. Said, what are you guys doing here? Didn't we just tell you? Yada, 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 yada. And talked about civil disobedience and where we are and the ball of confusion that we have and going to rallies. I think this is our finest hour right now. I think we are in the midst of our finest hour. I'm going to tell you, I have no idea. I don't know where this has gone. I don't know where this has gone. Is this going to in some type of end time scenario here in the world? That's what we've been taught. Do we really believe that? Or is this some type of shift? Is there a shifting going on? Hey, by the way, we know there's a shifting going on in the heavenlies. Maybe at some point we'll get a chance to talk about a pole shift and planets shift and debris and meteor. All that stuff's going on. I said when I came up before we started the show, I said to the guys here in the queue, man, I don't even know what to talk about because there are so many things that are happening. But isn't it amazing politically? All the things that we're not talking about today. Huh? Turn on your TV, turn on the news, which I don't watch the news at all. Get on my Facebook page and you'll find people who do, though. I'll tell you that. You get on my Facebook page and you read down through the comments, you'll find people who are watching the news. I mean, it's amazing the brainwashing that's going on. But again, of the times in which we live and the position that we're in and all of these things going on, what is supposed to be the response of a Christian? What do we do in this time which is before us? And a lot of crazy stuff going on. And I want to dive into that a little bit, but I want to take a minute here and just acknowledge a couple of things here before we do. Is this what I want? Yeah. Chad, God bless Chad Estes. Is he even in here this morning in the Texas Salt? Down in Texas, trying to get my camera or my board to lighten up here. Chad, are you in here? Are you in here, Chad? Are you sleeping in, recovering from that weekend? They had a Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Yeah, he's asleep when you know it. They had a Texas Salt and Light Brigade gathering down there in Austin, Texas. Not Austin. Moody. I think it's Moody. Wherever it is. Had a great time. Had a conversation with Chad yesterday. Had about 16 people show up. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Two groups of eight, so they were social distancing and doing all that stuff. And thank God for Chad being so faithful at the Estes Ranch and getting up and getting people involved. And thank for all of you who came and all of you who showed up, because we know Scripture tells us that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So maybe we'll be able to get Chad up early tomorrow morning. He can come in and talk to us a little bit about what they did down there in the Texas Salt and Light Brigade. May 15th through 17th, I've already put this out there. I'm having a get-together here in Ohio. Anybody would like to come? We are going to purchase the streaming of Steve Quayle's conference from where in Missouri, I think it is, May 15th, 16th, and 17th. And we're going to show it. We're going to put it up on the big screen. We're going to have fellowship time together. If you're longing for a little bit of fellowship, you come here and you bring a sleeping bag, you bring a cot, whatever you want to. We got sky high in a condition now that people can stay there. We'll keep you spread out so you don't get viruses. And if you want to come, mark it down May 15th, 16th, and 17th. Come and join us. It'll be a great weekend, and pray that the weather warms up and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, let me know, okay? Gotta let me know, because we do have to, you know, get food preparations and all that kind of stuff. That's May 15, 16, and 17. I want to give a big thanks out to Dale Socia and David Socia, who came and did 2,700 square feet of vinyl floating floor at up at Sky High. It's amazing. Just looks amazing. And Dale and David were on their knees for a long time this weekend. I was on my knees. My brother-in-law, Carl, was on his knees. Josh was on his knees. Isaiah was. But we got her done. And we're really, really making progress up there. So I want to publicly acknowledge those guys and thank them. I don't know if Dale's in here or not. He's probably pretty worn out. And they drove home afterwards.
No, Coach, I'm here.
Well, Dale, bless you, man. God bless you. And, Dale, I got a chance to catch a little bit of your service yesterday. You guys, you continue to have your service out there, and just folks, listen, I'm just going to tell you something. There are a lot of guys in this queue that are the real deal. There are a lot of them. I've had the opportunity to meet them face to face and stand alongside of them and work alongside of them. I got to tell you something. Pastor Dale Socia is like, what was the guy? Happy. Was that the guy's name in Snow White and the Seven Dorks? Wasn't Happy? Just whistle while you work. That's Dale Socia. He just whistles while he works. Now, it can't be fun. He's got to be tired. His knees have to hurt. His elbows are skinned. All that. And he just whistles while he works. So, Dale, it was a remarkable weekend for Michelle and I to have you and David here and the great fellowship and all that. So I owe you one. I know you don't want me to pay you, but I owe you one, brother, and appreciate it. You made it home safely, I'm sure. Cool. All right. Cool. Amen. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just amen, Coach. I appreciate it. We absolutely had a ball. It was wonderful. I was able to bless my son greatly. We want to come back up there. We'll wait for the snow to fall. But
yeah, that was funny. David's 22 years old, 21 or 22 years old, and we had snow fluffies. And it's like Christmas morning. He kept getting up and looking out the window to see if he could see some snow, and he saw somebody walk out on the porch. I wish we'd had a blizzard so he could have really, really seen it, but it was cool. It was really, really, really cool. So God bless you. God bless you, Dale. I got a million things. Let me ask you, let me back up real quickly. Those of you who were with us yesterday for Sunday's show, just looking for a little bit of feedback. Now, here's the kind of feedback I'm looking for. And one, constructive. Because here's where I struggle a little bit. And you guys might struggle a little bit. We've all been in here together for how long? For 4 years, some of us have been here, almost 5 years, four and a half, doing this every morning. And I have a tendency sometimes to when I start that Sunday show, to think I'm talking to y'all. And I am talking to y'all, but got a lot of different y'alls in here on Sunday. And I don't want to leave them in the dust. I don't want to water hose them. I don't want to overwhelm them with things that they haven't been exposed to. Just kind of open it up and see if there's any reaction from you guys out there as to maybe how I could be more effective or more of this or less of that. Just anybody have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do, Coach.
Okay.
I thought you're doing fine, and I don't know if I'd worry about the water hosing them. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll sift it out for them and help them through it and bring them along and catch them up. You know, that's just my thought.
Appreciate it, Rich, because, you know, here's the truth. It's like I say, the problem we run into on Sunday mornings, I think, in our local churches is it seems to me that what is the target audience? And when you go to your church on Sunday morning, your pastor's in the pulpit. Who's his target audience? Is it the old seasoned saints that have been sitting there for 50 years? Is it the young group of millennials who are just who's your target audience? When you get a bunch of people together and you begin to speak the truth, do you soften it for those who aren't quite ready for it? Do you hammer it for those who are? That's the dilemma that we have, and that's the only thing I can say is we try to do is just try to get it to them straight, and then let them do their own research, because it's been my experience. It's when you come to it, when you discover the truth on your own, it's far more effective than if somebody told you. Give them little breadcrumbs, drive them to the truth, and let them eat it and come to their own realization. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, if it's a Chinese audience, what language do you speak? If it's French, you got to speak the language. So you got to know your audience is what's important. Okay. That's where relationship comes in. Now, being in front of a bunch of strangers, how in the world are you supposed to make a connection unless you know them? So these mega churches, how do they do it, right? There's not a personal relationship that you're building on in the body. So I don't know, Coach. That's a good one.
Well, hey, because Coach. I used to go to one of those mega churches, and I called Rod Parsley, my pastor. He didn't pastor me. There were 5,000 people there. I'm not blaming him. It's impossible for him to pastor. By the way, help me grow up, Pastor. Don't continue to keep me a baby. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I didn't make yesterday's program, but I did wake up very early this morning, and the Holy Spirit just poured into me. That was it. Now, this was for me. It may be for somebody in here, too. But to stop leaning into my own understanding and stop trying to figure God out. Just stop doing it. Because every time you try to figure God out, you're leaning to your own understanding, and then you can't expect Him to guide your paths as long as you're leaning to your own understanding.
That's the truth, Larry, and we try to influence. Our personal beliefs really, really do influence. I said something when I saw that Jack. Do you want to come in, Jack, if your microphone's open?
Just fire hose us all. Them that don't drown will be strong.
That's the way I feel. Hey, by the way, my Dale Socia and my wife, I'm hard-headed. Dale Socia and my wife reeled me in yesterday, and I watched my second version episode of The Chosen. I don't know if you guys have had that opportunity to do that yet, but it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's a story of Jesus, The Chosen. You can just Google it, The Chosen, and you actually can download it, the app on your phone, and watch it on your phone. There's like 8 episodes of it now, and you can do it free. Really, they give it to you free, but they ask you to pay ahead. In other words, they would like for you to pay like $15. You get all the episodes, and then that enables 10 other people to be able to watch it free. So I took my first deep dive into The Chosen yesterday, and I found that to be it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Makes a couple things that I think Dale pointed this out to me when I watched The Chosen. You realize how small a group and area Jesus began with. These are all those disciples, they were all kind of buds, and they were all kind of hanging out together. And Jesus began with that very, very small group. And I watched the show last night where he told Peter that he would be fishers of men. They took him out of the boat and said, I need you to be a fisher of men. To think that whole thing of Christ began with that small group like that was really pretty amazing, because I think we think of him speaking to the whole world. And what was the whole world in those days? What? No mass communication, no telephones, no video. Man, it was just kind of word of mouth. So I would recommend that, The Chosen. And along with that, man, you got to get to our video page at CoachDaveLive.com. Coach's videos, I think, is what it says. And I posted a couple more up here this weekend. Geezy, crimey, there's some good stuff. And again, remember, it's all part of this ball of confusion of us trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Can I help you here? Just be open-minded. Just be open-minded. Here's what I made this statement last week, and I think it's more profound than I credited myself with or credited the Holy Spirit with. Most of us aren't looking for truth. Really, all of it. All of us. You hear me? All of us. If I pick up the Bible and I want to find evidence for, let's pick out anything, not drinking alcohol, I can find it. If I want to pick up the Bible and I want to find something on forgiveness, I can find it. If I pick up the Bible and I want to find something on how you treat your neighbors, I can find it. So what I see happening around the world, even apart from Christianity, is people are not looking for the truth. People already have a belief system, and they go to the Bible to find it, to verify it. That's what they do. That's what they do. So that's when you, if somebody wants to say that we're not, you know, we hear it all the time. Go to my Facebook page, folks. Go to my Facebook page and look at some of the arguments that are going on down through there. And you're going to see there are Christians who are doing nothing more than trying to justify why they believe what they believe. They believe it. They went to the Bible to try to find a place that supports what they believe. And that's where they hang their hat. We have to all be really careful with that. All of us do. Because we all, in fact, fall into that trap. Go ahead, Mark.
No, it's Dale.
Dale, I'm sorry, Dale.
No, brother. You know what you were saying. You know, and I listened to a little bit of your show because I wasn't sharing yesterday. But, brother, you know, we have to be tuned in the Spirit. Matthew chapter 10 talks about this. Is when they arrest you, do not fret or worry in what you're going to say, for the Spirit will give you the unctions of the word. Brother, when you were saying that about most prayers are about 30 seconds, brother, I don't know the last time that our service hasn't opened up with an intercession of prayer, and I'm talking corporate, of about 15 to 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And brother, then we're plugged into the Spirit, because the Spirit of the Lord, it's not about the degree of our knowledge of what we're going to share, but brother, we're plugged into God and what God is pouring into us and through us. He then can open up the ears of the hearer to hear what they need to hear, brother. I really believe that we need to be plugged into the Spirit. And so same thing with what you're saying. People are bickering back and forth, most of them Christians, over these little things. And to me, it's what is your conviction? It's not about the Constitution. It is what does your conviction tell you right there? So if a person says, mine tells me to stay home, brother, I got several families staying home. I'm totally fine with it. They're watching on Facebook. But my conviction as a pastor, I'm not trying to resist a system. My conviction as a pastor is we're going to stay open. We're not going to miss a beat unless God tells me otherwise.
Dale, that's almost a mic drop, because again, folks, go to my Facebook page and read some of the things there. Let's just talk about the simplicity of this and the gospel. Is it Christ-like? Come on now, because these are the dilemmas that we run into. Is it Christ-like to stay home and protect people from getting the virus? Is that Christ-like? Well, certainly that's Christ-like. But is it Christ-like to allow the government to overstep their bounds, for a wicked government to overstep their righteous authority? Is it Christian to allow that to happen? See, those are the dilemmas that we fall into. And the trouble that we have is we have those who want to be the pacifists, who don't want to push the envelope, who do want to simply protect people. And so when a guy like me says, I'm going to go to the state house and open Ohio, and the pacifist has already made up his decision, we're supposed to protect people. He will look to gospel support for why we're supposed to protect the people. And then we got these radicals like Jack over here. Jack wants to protect the people. But Jack says, come on, man, I'm just as worried about individual liberty. And yes, I want to protect these guys. But if we don't stand up here, everybody's going to be wounded. Everybody's going to be hurt. And then what do these people over here say? Well, you're just about money. See, you're going to put people's lives at risk just for money. And Jack's over here, and I'm over saying, no. I know people right now, domestic violence is breaking out in their houses. They're losing their jobs. They're losing their businesses. You see it? You see the dilemma that we have, church? What is the balance? Somebody come on in here. What's that balance?
Coach, one of the things we're not doing, we're not really seeking wisdom. We're seeking confirmation.
Seeking confirmation for what we already believe. That's right, Jack.
Well, Coach, if I can real quick, all you got to do is listen to what their convictions are telling them. Because when you listen to them, if they say, well, because the governor said we're supposed to stay home, and say, I'm already going red flag, because it's those who are led by the Spirit are truly the sons and daughters of Christ. if their reasoning of why they're going to stay home or why they're not going to stay home has anything to do with either resisting government or obeying government, brother, they're already amiss. Mm. My convictions don't come from government. My convictions come from God. And so when I hear their reasonings why they're doing what they're doing, and it's anything else besides the convictions and the scripture that the Lord tells them, and not trying to defend it, but just this is my conviction, brother, they're amiss. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, we're staying home because the government says so. And then they go to Romans 13, and I'm already, dude, you're amiss. Because you don't even know Romans 13.
That's right.
Coach, take what Dale said to energy. Where is your energy? Are you giving your energy to obeying the government? Are you submitting your energy to follow that? Or are you submitting yourself to Jesus and letting Jesus decide? What are you doing?
Yeah. So, Mark, I'm with you, Mark. But see, the dilemma comes down to this, folks, and this is what I continue to say. And Jack, I'm not picking on you, the point that Jack would make is, of course I want to protect people. Of course I want to be Christ-like, all right? I want to be Christ-like, and I want to do what it is that the Lord would have me to do. And I want to be obedient, and I want to obey those who are in authority. But I'm saying to people, or others are saying to people, okay, I agree with you, but where do you draw that line? Or what if they tell me I have to take a vaccination?
Amen. Yep.
There's the balance, folks. And so those of us who are pushing back, I would say, listen, we demand righteous judgment. Righteous judgment.
There's
a balance on both of them, folks. And if the government can tell me to close my business, can they tell me to take a vaccination? If the government can tell me to close my business for the safety and security of other people, can the government tell me to take a vaccination for the safety and security of other people? Now, where do we as Christians draw the line? Where do we come down on that balance? I'd love to hear from you. Go ahead. Are you guys waiting for me to invite you in? I got in that habit, and then I stopped doing that. Let me. I'm sorry. Let me get over. Anybody have a comment on that 614 area code? You want to jump in here? No. Okay. Well, let me go here. Let me show you something right here, because I'm going to go today. I want to apologize to Jeff Klein and Pat Long. All of you that went down to the State House last Friday, I was tied up at Sky High. I appreciate the fact you went down there. We went down on Saturday. Michelle and I went down there, had a wonderful crowd. There's not much leadership. We're going to do it again next weekend, by the way, next Saturday. We're going to have even a bigger crowd of folks down there, because I believe in what we're doing. I believe that we need to open up Ohio. I believe I've reached that balance. I don't want to see anybody die, but I'm not so sure that the closing of our government is associated with those two things, right? I'm not sure of it. So I came across a clip here I want to show you, Jared, if you can, or Sheldon. Francis Schaeffer. We all love Francis Schaeffer. And I came across this YouTube, really short YouTube video. Someone asked Francis, the late Francis Schaeffer, what the Christian's obligation was in obeying the government. Okay? Obeying the government. I'm going to obey the government. I don't want to be a lawbreaker. So somebody asked him, I don't know how old this thing is, but it's 2 minutes and 1 second. And tell me if you listen to Francis Schaeffer and tell me if you think he's wrong. Go ahead, Sheldon.
What we must realize, the bottom line, the early Christians, the people of the Reformation, the founding father of this country.
All right, 30 seconds. Okay, because again, folks, this is about these rallies that we're having. Bobby Lee's going to be part of one in Pennsylvania this weekend. If we ever having another one on Saturday. The question is, again, are Christians supposed to blindly follow government? Because I hear a lot of that. And I don't want to get weighed down on this, but this is really, really critical. Why, hey, folks, everything Adolf Hitler did was legal. He followed the law. Okay, hang on a second. All those people who marched, those Jews who marched into those cattle cars, they were obedient to the government. The Christians, the churches, they were following the government. They were being obedient to the government. And we sit back here and we look back over our shoulders 60 years and say, how stupid were those people? How come they didn't stand up and push back? Well, are we there again? That's my question. Francis Schaeffer, let's hear what he has to say.
Well, we must realize the bottom line, the early Christians, the people of the Reformation, the founding father of this country faced and acted on, is the realization that if there is no place for disobeying the government, that government has been put in the place of the living God. In such a case, the government has been made a false god. If there is no place for disobeying a human government, that government has been made God. Caesar, under some name, thinking of the early church, has been put upon the final throne. The Bible's answer is no. Caesar is not to be put in the place of God. And we as Christians, in the name of the Lordship of Christ, in all of life, must so think and act on the appropriate level, and should always be on the appropriate level. We have lots of room to move yet with our cases, with our court cases, with the people we elect, all the things that we can do in this country. In the name of the Lordship of Christ in all of life, we must so think and act on the appropriate level. And if unhappily we come to that place, the appropriate level must also include a disobedience to the state. If you're not doing that and you haven't thought it through, Jesus is not really on the throne. God is not central. You have made a false God central. Christ must be the final Lord, and not society, and not Caesar. May I repeat the final sentence again? Christ must be the final Lord, and not Caesar, and not society.
So if I want to close my church, if I had a church, out of what I think a righteous call to protect the people, then I do that. But the government has no right to demand I close my church. Folks, it's a very, very fine line. The liberties that are lost are never, ever regained. I want to show you something that I found on my Facebook page. Yeah, pull up there, Sheldon. The governor's breaking the law. It's amazing the things that you find out, right? Ohio Governor Michael DeWine is breaking the law. Now, who is supposed to hold elected officials accountable? The courts? Are the courts the ones that are supposed to hold elected officials? Who is? Who is the salt of the earth and the light? Who? So this was sent to me. It was posted on my Facebook page. This is the Ohio Revised Code. Look at this, folks. Section 7, emergency powers of the governor. In the event of a disaster, as defined in Section 4, the governor may by proclamation declare that a disaster exists. Upon such proclamation, the governor shall have and may exercise for a period not to exceed 30 days the following emergency powers. Provided, however, that the lapse of the emergency powers shall not, as regards any act or acts occurring or committed within the 30-day period, deprive any person, firm, corporation, political subdivision, or body politic of any right or rights to the compensation or reimbursements which he, she, it, or they may have under the provisions of this act. So if Ohio continues to be closed down we're past 30 days. That's in violation of the law. Now, hey, but no big deal. This is an exception. Is this an exception? Well, church, what's our response? What would be our response to the government breaking the law? Somebody help me there.
Well, my response, again, Coach, it goes back to the convictions of the scripture when Peter was one of the first brought in and flogged and questioned and said, we're going to release you, but don't you go out and preach that Jesus. And he looked at him and said, but be for me to obey man rather than God.
So Dale, listen, please stay with me on this. Are we, as Christians, again, in a Christian society, am I supposed to remain silent while the governor acts unlawfully and destroys the individual lives of families who have built their entire financial base upon a business that the governor now says they cannot open? Am I to remain silent about
it? Okay.
After 30 days, hey, folks, do you guys know how to, you know, to keep your mouth covered? Do you know to cough into your arm? Do you know not to get close to people? At what point does the government say to us, or do we demand the government, okay, Governor DeWine, you've had your 30 days. Hey, church, you've had your 30 days. Everybody know how to take care of themselves now? Everybody know how to prevent this, huh? You all get it, okay? Hey, you're on your own. Follow the rules. Please try to follow what we taught you to do over the last 30 days, or 30 days becomes 60 days, becomes 90 days. And what? They are beyond their authority to do it. Go ahead, Mark.
Look at it this way. All right, we're Christians. We believe we have authority and we have duty. All right. So ask this question. If we know the government's doing something illegal, is it Christian to remain silent?
As a Christian,
isn't that the difference in us and the rest of the world? The world can remain silent. They're not convicted by the Holy Spirit. They don't have authority. They don't have duty. But if you call yourself a Christian and the government is doing this, is it legal scripturally to not fight back?
Or, Mark, here's our dilemma. Remember, folks, there are good people. We're in a ball of confusion. There are good people. You know, getting on my Facebook page from people here and say, okay, well, are you going to be responsible for say only 1,000 are going to die? Are you going to be responsible for the 1,000 dead, Coach? You want to take responsibility? That you want that on your shoulders? And I'm thinking, well, no, of course I don't. But I don't want 1,000 businesses to fail either. I don't want 1,000 people's life work to fail either. There is the balance. And at some point, what? We have to be responsible for our own protection and our own behavior.
Isn't that the same?
Another guy over here that wants anybody to die. Nobody wants anybody to die. But at what point do we, the church, say, sorry, Mr. Governor, but that is not a righteous decision. You don't have that authority. Turn us loose. Yes, sir. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, I'm not saying the governor has that authority. I don't think he does. However, as far as business is going down and stuff like that, you know what? A bunch of us have been hoping and crying and even praying for, to some extent, that something would happen that we would be able to return our country to its original direction. And now something's happened that we have an opportunity to return our country to its original direction, and everybody seems to be complaining that it's happening, and let's stop it from happening.
No, Larry, I'm complaining that it's being done in an unauthoritative manner. That's my complaint. That's my complaint. I pray the public schools never open. I think it's one of the greatest things that ever happened.
Of course, these businesses are pretty evil. I don't think they need to open again either.
Oh, wow. That's not liberty, is it? Yep.
The problem was, when you go back to the days of Hitler, there you go again. A bunch of the Christians were asleep when the spirit of Antichrist was moving. And now you got the same thing happening, except this time it's happening worldwide. And there you go again. The church is still sleeping. And there's very few people that's going to agree. Why? Because there's only going to be a remnant that even sees that this is going on.
Well, that's right. That's right, Alan. And they're not all sleeping. As I said, they are in a ball of confusion. If we open up, people die, they tell us. But if we don't open up, people aren't going to be able to eat or whatever you want to. Where is the Christian balance? What is liberty? See, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. And among those rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do we believe in that or not? Do we? And for 30 days or however long it's been, most of us have tried to comply. And we're 30 days out, 45 days out, and we still now are saying, okay, we get it. Enough is enough. Enough is why, folks, here's my question maybe. Why are we fighting? Why is the church fighting over whether we should obey government on this issue or not? There's only one reason we're fighting, because it's a ball of confusion. We don't know. We don't know. What is the position that the church should take? So somebody's going to send me an email saying, well, look, here, this guy died. Are you happy, coach? This guy, well, I'm not happy that guy died. What are you talking about? Part of life. We have a responsibility. People text and drive and come across the middle line and hit you and kill you. You blow a tire and you hit a tree, you die. You make the precautions. You go to your mechanic and he says, hey, that tire's bald. You better get that thing fixed. Do we have laws out there then about tires? Is that the answer? We don't follow the 10 that we already have. You have the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That's what you were supposed to do. And does loving my neighbor as myself, keeping this neighbor alive, does my desire to keep this neighbor alive give me the right to be able to crush this man's life?
Hey, let's go back for a minute to the slippery slope. A lot of people poo-hoo slippery slope theories down the years. But remember when they passed the first seatbelt law?
Mm.
The slippery slope was there.
Yep. So then, Larry, that's the point I'm making about where we are on another slippery slope here. Hey, folks, you all know this. Hang on a second. We all know this, don't we? Come on now. We all know this is leading to mandatory vaccinations. We know that. Do we stand up now while we can fight? Or do we fight individually as they come and deny us rights because we haven't taken the vaccination? There's never going to be a good time, never be a good time to save everybody. We can't. Whoever that was, come on in.
That was me, coach. Same angle as abortion. And it's always trying to play the pity card. Oh, what about rape? What about always trying to... What about those who are going to get sick because of this? Look, people are dying in car accidents going to church on Sunday morning. Maybe people need to stop driving their cars and walk to church. Brother, it's always that angle. They always want to throw that angle out there. We've seen it at the abortion clinic. Look, what is the main thing they tell us at the abortion clinic? It's never about ectopic pregnancy. It's always about, well, what about a woman who gets raped? They play on that card.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, Dale, what happens with the whole idea of my body, my choice? Does that apply only to abortions? Does that apply to vaccination? Yeah. And do we fight that thing now, or do we fight it when they got when the Gestapo's outside your house forcing you to take a vaccination? Do we fight it now? Because if we fight it now, people might die of this virus. People might die of this virus if we push back now, or wait till they got their boot on our throat, forcing us to make a decision, life or death decision. That's
they got us on the ground for the boot, coach. Think about going back to Germany. We see a lot of that same thing. I wonder who Dietrich Bonhoeffer would be standing right now on this whole situation, just like he was when he was in that council of pastors when Hitler came in there. I wonder where Dietrich Bonhoeffer, what people would be saying to him when he said the things that he did back then. They would be throwing him under the bus. Now, if we want to take Christianity out of the picture, just go, are you an American? Because if you're an American, then the first amendment is to redress the grievances of our government. And even in the Declaration of Independence, there comes a time with the tyranny where we got to cast off the restraints of that government. Brother, that's right. American.
That's exactly it. Do we follow unlawful how about this? I said this on my show on the show on Saturday. What if the government says an edict comes down and says, you know what? We've discovered that most of this virus is being spread through older people, and here's what we're going to do. From now on, no medical coverage, no medical services for anybody over 65. We've just decided that that's the target group, and we'll just let those over 65 die without any medical intervention. Now, does the government have the authority to do that? You say, well, Coach, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. How do you know? And at what point do we stand up and say, no, government, God bless you, but no. That's where we are, in my not-so-humble opinion.
So, all right, so years ago, Coach, when these viruses came out, there wasn't the connectivity. Years and years ago, you had a newspaper. Years before that, you had word of mouth. That's the only way people were connected. There's no way a government could rule this way. This government is ruling through instant media pushing down the same data globally. So let's take that into account. So now you got the media broadcasting the government's word. This is my question. It's not the government that's doing it. We are doing it. In other words, if we stand up now instead of later, more people will be saved from this government. See, the virus isn't even a part of this discussion. This government, we need to stand up. What will happen if? All right, so let's say we comply with the government and we don't do anything. They've measured our response. They've written it down. This is what these people do. This is what these people do. Then they go strategize the vaccination. This is where it's headed. So we do it now where we have more of a chance, or more people will be conditioned in this mindset as they currently are, even in the queue. They're being conditioned in this mindset to comply, and later there'll be more people. So it'll be easier. There'll be less of us.
So Mark, when we stand up and say, I do not consent, because it's supposed to happen with the consent of the governed, does the government have the ability or the right to enforce or push measures on us that we do not consent to? And hear me now, are we now considered rebels because we do not consent? Don't we have within the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all of our government structure, the idea of the citizenry agreeing to what is happening, the consent of the governed. And we have to ask ourselves, is that principle important enough to stand up and say, listen, Governor DeWine, I appreciate your heart. I appreciate what you're trying to do. But my friend, you do not have the authority to do that. And we will not consent. That's Christian, friends. That's not disobedience. Yeah.
Our liberties come from God, not Midget Mike. The time is now. And then somewhere in Genesis, it talks about we are to self-govern as a people.
That's right.
You know, it's just so simple. We got to find that.
Yeah, but the people around us, Christian, go to my Facebook page. They don't get it. They don't, right. They don't understand that with liberty comes risk.
Man, you know, Coach, it's like they put you on a train and they take you to a place and you're saying, where am I going? You don't know. And then they get off a train and it's worse than the last place you were. Mm-hmm. So you live there a while. You get used to it. You're like, oh, this ain't so bad. Kind of miss that stuff I used to had. Oh, here comes another train. Get on a train. Get on this train. They take mm-hmm. you to another place, which is even worse. You're like, why did I do that? I just got on those last two trains. We keep getting on the train, Coach. That's keep right. being fed this stuff. Everybody's head flips upside down. Oh, I got to do what the government says now. Yesterday they're corrupt, but today I got to do what they say. That's the media flipping switches. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we do about all the innocent switches that got flipped? Those are God's sheep. Those what are the ones we got to tell.
Mark, what did Peter do? What did those brothers in the book of Acts do? Did they just fully comply? What did Daniel do? What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do? What did they do? Did they comply? They did not comply. Folks, compliance does not equal righteousness. We have to understand this. Those two things are not the same. And as much as I want to save everybody who might get the virus, the government does not have the right to tell me to stay in to protect them. It doesn't have that right. I should Amen. Stay in and quarantine Amen. Myself because out of my heart, I want to protect my brother.
You know,
out of my heart, not because the government told me I had to. Out of my heart, I want to protect them. But I have to balance the two. If we allow government to be closed down to protect him, he is being destroyed, and I don't have the right to destroy him to protect him. It's individual liberty, and Christian. Individual liberty is dangerous. But it is—it's the method of living that Americans supposedly decided we would follow.
You know, Christians become martyrs not because they went along.
Boy, Larry, that's true, right? Become martyrs because we didn't, folks. Disobeying unrighteous edicts is Christian. Do you hear me? It is Christian. I want to show a video here real quick. This is just 2 minutes. Columbus Dispatch, our local paper. We had a rally Saturday. Michelle and I went down and we had a great time. We ran into a lot of people. I believe it was the first time ever out on the streets. They were holding signs. You know what we need? We need leaders. We need leaders. And that's what I'm trying to do on Saturday. We're going to have some leadership down there. We're going to do this again. We're going over today for another. I'm going to support every rally that they're having. You should, too, wherever your community is, whatever state you're in. They're having in like 21 different states. They're having these rallies now at their state house. We've got to stand, folks, we've got to stand up for individual liberty, not that the government. Liberty has consequences, okay? It has consequences. And saying, you know what? Opening up the government, this guy might die. I hope he doesn't, but he might. And I don't have the right as a government to choose to keep him alive over destruction of this guy. So I don't have that right to be able to do it. That's what liberty is all about. So we went down there, and they're, again, check your local state. We're doing one on Saturday at 1:30. Some of you guys close, you want to come here and join us. We're going to try to get it organized. I'm going to try to get, yeah, I am. I'm going to try to get 10,000 people downtown for liberty, for liberty. We're going to try to do that. We'd like you to come be part of if you can. Here's what we saw Saturday right here in Columbus, Ohio. We're doing it again today, and then we're going to build on this for next Saturday. So this was by the Columbus Dispatch, who, by the way, probably hates Christians. Go ahead.
So we're dying. People are dying because of what the government is doing and shutting things down.
There's also 36,000 people who have died from the actual virus in the United States. 150,000 throughout the world.
36,000 people have died in the United States. That's absolute garbage. The real data does not support what the media is putting out.
Well, it doesn't come from the media. It comes from the CDC and state health agencies.
Well, then you need to look at the data again because there's not 36,000 people that have died.
I don't want to be here protesting. I want to be back at work. I'm an auctioneer. I have an auction house in Milan, Ohio. When they decided that they wouldn't allow mass gatherings, I couldn't have an auction anymore. And so the 12th was my last auction. That was my last paycheck. I've not been paid since then. They've not sent me anything. No unemployment hasn't come through. No money's coming in. If I wasn't smart with my money, I'd be in a mess.
I'm here to protest what's going on, as well as to support some security for protesters here.
Why do you need the security? Why do you need the big guns?
Apparently in Raleigh, North Carolina, they were arresting people for assembling. Not saying that was going to happen here, but you never know.
Free Ohio! Free Ohio! Free Ohio! Free Ohio!
Common Core Band has made us non-critical thinkers!
In the state.
How do you feel about it?
Not the same.
Have you seen what's happening in New York?
Yes, I have.
What do you think of that?
Well, they'll tell you that all the hospitals are overloaded. They're not. In New York City, the hospitals are not overloaded.
Okay. What do you think's going on there?
They're putting out that the hospitals are overloaded so that they can create panic.
Have any fear of catching it?
No. Why not? I don't. Because I have faith. I have faith in God. That's why. Darwin is fulfilling an agenda. It's not a hoax, but there's an agenda, and people need to start researching and making up their own minds and not listening to what they're told. We're being lied to!
Folks, I gotta tell you something. Even Michelle said it. We had so much fun down there because this is one of the things that, as Larry had said earlier, we have been praying for this, haven't we? An awakening of the citizenship. See, but here's our problem, and I've said this over and over. The rebellion's going to come from the NASCAR crowd, the people who are not, don't have the Holy Spirit, don't have Christ in their heart, who are going to strike back just because they've had enough of it. We need Christian direction at these events. That's why we're trying to get a little bit more actively involved in on Saturday. As I said, there's one today. Is there one in your local area? There's at least 21, 22, 23 states. They had them in Denver yesterday. They had them in New Hampshire. This is the people petitioning the government for a redress of grievances, the First Amendment of the Constitution. Now, again, somebody help me. Where's the church? Why aren't pastors encouraging their congregations, let's go as a group. Let's go down there and let's hold signs and let's lift up the Lord and let's pray for repentance and let's fall on our face. Let's go be the salt of the rally. Again, not there. No Christian leadership. So we're going, I don't care whether you support it or not. I don't care. This is a groundswell. A grassroots uprising. It's something some of us have been praying for who knows how long. Robert, you get ready to read that for me, if you will. Get that. Get you. Somebody, come
hey,
on,
Coach.
Man. We got 2 minutes. Yeah, Jeff.
The Friday event, we was down there. Pastor Bill did the preaching. We had some prayers going on. We had 50, right at 50 Christians. A couple of them weren't Christians. Matter of fact, Pastor Bill's two brothers went. They're not Christians. But they had the time of their life. They were just excited about it. We had Robert Dilla preaching, even the guy down there, Buckeye Lake, what's his name, does street preaching. He was there and did a little bit. It was, yeah, Phil. It was a great time. Now I'll let you know here when you go off the air. We got step two set up. I don't want to say it right now, but I'll let you know after the show's over when we're done here.
All right. We need, hey, folks, listen. We need bodies. We need tens of thousands. We need tens of thousands. something really, really great can grow out of this. You listen, you have to get involved. You have to. It may not be the perfect thing for you. It may not be the perfect scenario, but this is something that we can rally around. We have to get involved. You have to get involved. Find some place, some rally near you and get involved. Robert, come on in here. April 20th. I didn't even check. Are you in here today with us, brother? I don't mean to put you on the spot like that. Should always check.
Coach, can I throw something in there right quick?
Sure, please do, Kevin.
The tomorrow at noon at Jefferson City at the State House, I'm meeting with some state legislators. State Representative Mike Moon is introducing legislation to overrule our unelected appointed governor here in Missouri, who decided to extend our shutdown till May 3rd. So I'm going to be at the State House tomorrow at noon, along with Mike Moon and some others of Rick Simpson and Wes Scroggins from Springfield.
Praise
and
Lord.
We're going to go up there and kick the kick a hornet's nest and see if we can't get something going. I got to read Robert's deal today, and the end of it actually applies to what's going on. So I'll hand it back to you.
Okay, I'm going to read it to you.
Robert's not here today.
Okay, I got it. Should Christians demand? Should Christians demand the government follow the law? This is not a hard question. Does the government have
the
right?
How can they demand it if they don't know what it is, Coach?
Exactly.
How can they demand it if they don't know what it is, Coach?
And well, whatever. If they want to close down the government, then go through the proper procedures to do it. Get your elected officials, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Brother, the governor is overstepping his bounds. April 20th, the games the devil loves to play from Robert. I don't know if you have it up on the screen. I got it on my book. I'll read it here. Pardon me while I look down. A favorite game of the devil is to get Christians distracted and consumed with fighting bad fights rather than fighting the good fight, arguing over their faith rather than keeping their faith. The devil often succeeds in preventing many from finishing the course by having them focus on vain discourse. That's good, Robert. The devil opposes Christians running the race with perseverance by enticing them to cheapen God's grace with perversion. The devil also loves to get the saved and forgiven to fret over their past and to condemn themselves over previous failures. But the forgiving God of mercy, the God of the second chance and of mercy, would say, confess, forsake, and forget. It is water under the bridge. The Lord is now saying it is time to walk on the water. Wake up, church! Jesus told his disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. It makes more sense, as Jonah would say, to obey and go fishing for the lost rather than to disobey and be swallowed by a whale. Another game the devil is to indulge his victims with games, toys, idols that leave no time for God and spiritual things that have eternal value. Judgment Day will reveal that he who dies with the most toys will be found to have played with the devil most of the time. Earthly trinkets cannot be carried to heaven, only heavenly treasures. The former satisfies for a season, the later ladder endures forever.
Amen.
So here we are, folks. Remember the preamble of the Constitution says to ourselves and to our posterity. We are sitting in a place right now. Take the spiritual aspect out of it. Let's say there's no end times. Let's say there is no God. Jesus is not coming back. Let's say none of that stuff applies. What do we need to do now to ensure our grandchildren live in liberty? Our posterity lives in liberty. That's what, if you're not a believer, that's okay. If you have a difference in theology, that's okay. Can we all agree that here we are today, right now, the 20th day, 4/20/2020, that we are sitting on a precipice of the loss of liberties that we may never, ever recover from? And do we owe it to our posterity to stand up now to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Yes.
If we can't stand in the gap for our own offspring, then what the heck can we do?
That's what it's about. I'm sorry about all the people that are dying. I'm sorry. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. Do we want to sentence our children to the greatest depression we've ever seen? We're on the verge of that, friends. And right now we have this opportunity, all the turmoil, all the tumult, to expand the kingdom of God. That ought to be our focus. It starts by doing what? Demanding justice. God bless you. See you tomorrow.